In the wake of this weekend's brutal shootings in Arizona, it's really not surprising that people would question how the suspect got a gun. That's fairly predictable, I think. It's
well,
true.
It's the you know, you can say all you want about the personality of an individual, the stability of an individual, of the emotional maturity of an individual, but give them a gun, the whole thing changes. And they're a threat.
Absolutely. It's a deadly weapon that doesn't require a lot of skill to use. And it is also true that Arizona has perhaps the most permissive gun laws in the country. But Jared Loughner would probably not have had any trouble obtaining a weapon in any state. The fact is, he had no criminal record. He'd never been institutionalized. And so it's necessary at this point that we set aside the particulars of Loughner's case for just a moment and maybe have a broader discussion about background checks, the availability of weapons, and in what ways crimes could be prevented or not with a different system of permitting a gun or the sale of guns. Joining us now is Dr. Neda Stotland, former president of the American Psychiatric Association. And I wanted to start with you, doctor, because there has been a lot of discussion about that there were reports that Jared Loughner had psychiatric trouble. But in any case in which somebody's buying a gun, is it possible that you could set up some kind of test or screen for mental illness before you sold a gun to a person?
Well, let's not even go there. There are many places in the country where, in fact, people have been prevented from getting guns legally if they have a history of mental illnesses, but that's not the way to go. People with mental illnesses who are treated are no more risk or the most minuscule amount of added risk of anybody else. What we have trouble with is people who are intoxicated, have an alcohol problem or a drug abuse problem, much more than people with mental illnesses who have enough to struggle with as it is.
We're also joined this morning by Dan Baum. He's a contributor to Harper's Magazine, and he wrote a cover piece for the August issue about what it feels like to actually carry a gun. And Dan, I also understand you're writing a book about the relationship between Americans and their guns, right?
Right.
So I wonder if you're heartened or maybe a little nervous about the fact that this shooting spree in Arizona has brought up this issue of more restrictive gun controls, of perhaps widening background checks before they sell guns to people.
Well, I'll tell you why it worries me. I'm a liberal Democrat, and I care about a lot of issues. And as a liberal Democrat, I was with my party for years on gun control, right? Assault rifle bans and waiting periods, and until I really started looking into it. And this is kind of a disturbing thing for me to talk about, because I've been turned around on this issue. And I think the membrane that I passed through at a certain point is understanding that there are 350 million privately owned guns in this country. And you don't have to go to a gun store to buy one legally. You can buy one out of the classifieds in your newspaper. You can buy one from your next door neighbor with no background check at all. So people who are going to do bad things with guns are going to get guns. What bothers me when I hear all the talk now about more gun control after this tragedy is, traveling around the country talking to gun guys, I have met so many people who are natural Democrats, people whose wages have not gone up since 1978, people who would benefit tremendously from national health care, from, you know, reducing income inequality, women who, you know, would benefit from advanced women's rights, on and on and on, who will not even listen to Democrats on anything because they are convinced Democrats are going to take their guns. And, you know, global warming, I mean, anything. So it seems to me that, A, there's really not much that traditional gun control can do to keep people from getting guns. And another thing that we have to recognize, and this too is kind of a mind bender for me, violent crime in the last 20 years has dropped by more than a third. At the same time, gun ownership has gone way up and gun laws have got way looser. So if what we want to do as a society is to reduce gun violence, then maybe we just need to keep doing what we're doing.
Well, but let's focus on what gun control actually means, particularly in the wake of something like this. And Dan, I take your point on the politics of it and this sort of psychological kind of relationship that we have with guns and this perception of freedom that they deliver. But Dr. Stotland, I mean, if you were to just ban guns outright, that's a fairly simple constitutional amendment. But if you're going to try to create a screening regime for determining whether certain mental illnesses, trigger basically, the restriction of privileges to own a gun, that it seems to me, raises about 50 other constitutional questions where you'd have a retailer all of a sudden being able to bring up your medical records if you're in there buying a pistol.
That's absolutely true. And Mr. Baum is correct that it's so easy to get a gun in this country that talking about changing the restrictions or screening people really doesn't make any sense, really wouldn't help. It certainly would help if we changed the culture and made it much more difficult overall to get guns, as most other countries, most other advanced countries have. Very few allow guns the way we do, and very few have people having as many guns as we do.
But Dan, you know, we do give psychological screenings to people who want to enter the military. We give them to people who want to become a police officer or even a security officer. Before they arm people in a profession, they often give them some kind of mental health screening. Couldn't something like that work as a reasonable test to take before you sell a gun over the counter?
Sure. First of all, you don't have to go to a gun store to buy a gun, as I just said.
Okay,
if you wanted to change the law and ban private sales of guns and say you have to buy a gun, if you're going to buy a gun, you have to go, then people are just going to disobey that law. I wrote, my first book was about drug prohibition. Banning things people want and standing in the way of things people want, it just doesn't work. And in fact, gun laws I see as very analogous to marijuana.
Let's get
laws.
Your trigger, Dan. Forget about drugs for a minute. A schizophrenic has a gun or not? What do you think?
I do not want crazy people getting guns.
What does that mean? What does that mean?
But what really are you going to do? Are you going, as you say, are you going to give retailers the right to have access to people's medical records? I'm not sure we want that.
I'm sure there's other ways to go around that. It's an interesting discussion, though. Dan Baum's a contributor to Harper's Magazine, currently working on a book about the relationship between Americans and their guns, and Dr. Neda Stotland, former president of the American Psychiatric Association. Obviously, a conversation that can continue going. I can think of a couple ways around what Dan's talking about, but we'll be talking about this further. Dan Baum joins us again, contributor to Harper's Magazine. He wrote a cover piece on this issue about how it feels to carry a gun in August, and he's writing a book about the relationship between Americans and their guns. And we're also joined by Dr. Neda Stotland, former president of the American Psychiatric Association. And Dr. Dan and Dr. Stotland, I wanted to ask you both, you have to take an eye test to get a driver's license. I mean, they have a certain measure of your competency because it's dangerous to drive a car. I'm just wondering, and allow me to be the devil's advocate here. Let's say that you take the whole issue of privacy out of it, that you take away the ability of somebody who's selling the gun to take a look at your records, and you have to go to a third-party governmental association to get a permit to buy a gun. They're the ones that do the background check on you. They're the ones that issue a test for you, and then you take that permit to a place that sells guns and buy it. Would that work, Doctor?
Background check is one thing, and a mental health screening is an entirely other thing. That won't work because very few people who have mental illnesses are the ones who are violent, and most of the people who commit violent acts don't have mental illnesses. And so that's not the way to go about it. And not only that, it stigmatizes people with mental illnesses and would discourage people from getting care. It would underscore this misinformation people have that people with mental illnesses are violent.
Dan, what's your response? Do you agree with the doctor, or do you think something like that could work?
I'm with the doctor. And she knows best on that. I mean, you're talking about, you're right about driving a car. You have to take a test to drive a car. It is, the embarrassing truth is, cars are not in the Constitution and guns are. And we kind of have to confront that. You know, this, when something like this happens, it is natural to want to say, we got to do something. But if you stand back, if what we want to do is reduce gun crime in this country, we're doing it. I mean, it doesn't seem like that today because we just had this terrible tragedy. But gun crime is much, much lower than it was 20 years ago. at a time when gun ownership has gone up and gun laws have gotten looser. So it may be, you know, for we liberals who are impulses to say we got to do something and we've got to, you know, do gun control, maybe we need to stand back and say, well, maybe not. And maybe it's iatrogenic. Maybe, you know, when we try to do these ham-fisted gun control methods, we so alienate the 40% of Americans who own guns that we end up sacrificing progress on all kinds of other issues. I think we need to slow down.
Okay, well, we do regulations on prescription drugs. We alienate drug addicts. You know, the question is, what is important for all of society? Is there a way to change our relationship with guns, the Constitution notwithstanding, that would allow some measure of regulation in the same way that, and I'm not saying that having prescriptions for, you know, certain medications hasn't increased abuse for things like OxyContin, but is there a way of creating a regulatory regime that at least allows for the possibility of guns being triggers for activities that can have horrible, horrible consequences?
But my point is, it's already happening. We are already changing our relationship to guns. We already kill each other with guns way less than we used to. It's happening. We're doing it. It's underway. And to reach for more regulation with all the political peril that that entails, it doesn't make sense.
Although, Dr. Nadastodland, a correlation is not necessarily causality here. As a scientist and as a doctor, would you agree that the reduction in gun crime is necessarily some indication of a change in the relationship between Americans and their guns?
I don't think so. I'm not an expert on legislation, but I don't think so. I think if we want to worry about controlling violence and controlling deaths in this country, we need not only to keep everybody away from guns, but we need to be a little more strict about alcohol. Who kills people on the roads? We might have eye tests to keep people from getting a driver's license. And, of course, you can drive a car whether you have a license or not. It's just against the law, like owning a gun without a permit. But who kills people? People who are drunk. And we're really, in our country, extremely lax about keeping those people off the road. This is a similar situation.
Well, doctor, let me just ask you. I mean, yes, I agree that it's not fair to stigmatize those who have any kind of mental illness. But there are also those who have the kind of violent mental illnesses, a tendency towards violence, which would make it a bad idea to arm them, right?
Well, you could attempt to control, keep guns away, which I think we already do, from people with a history of violence. That's very different from screening people for having any kind of mental illness. Because,
except,
as I said, they have about as much tendency to be violent as all of us.
Except that right now we only keep guns away from somebody with a history of violence that's in police records. It has to be an involve an arrest or a law enforcement in some way before they keep them from buying a gun.
Similarly, most of the or many of the people who do commit violent acts in the throes of untreated mental illness often have not been diagnosed either. And we certainly can't start screening everybody appropriately for mental illnesses.
All right. Well, Derek, that's Dr. Nadastodland, former president of the American Psychiatric Association. Dan Baum, absolutely no changes that we could possibly make to our gun controls to have prevented something like this in Arizona?
Unless you're going to ban private sales of guns, and that would be pushing a big political rock up a steep hill, there really is not much of a way. I'm sorry to tell you that. But the good news is what you want to see happen is happening already. Violence is way down. Doesn't feel like that today, but violence is way down.
Dan Baum, contributor to Harper's Magazine, working on a book about the relationship between Americans and their guns. Thanks to both you and Dr. Nadastodland.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.